Well, hey, friend, welcome again to Job with Julie, hosted by me, Julie Slattery. Let me remind you that this is a listener-supported podcast. It's an outreach of Authentic Intimacy, which is a ministry dedicated to helping people make sense of God and sexuality. Well, today we're going to talk about attraction. Does attraction matter? Is attraction always sinful? Is attraction always sexual? You know, I think we talk a lot about sex and attraction on this podcast, but I'm not sure if we've ever done just a basic episode talking about what attraction and desire are and how they impact us. So we thought it might be helpful to address some of the recurring questions and beliefs that many of us have around attraction and to go a little deeper and understand the various types of attraction, what impacts them, and how they shift and grow over time. Joining me today for this conversation is Job with Julie favorite, my cousin Hannah Nitz. Now, many of you know Hannah and love Hannah. You come up and tell me all the time how much you love her laugh. And so she is just the perfect person to join me as we dive into this conversation. So grab your coffee and enjoy this episode all about attraction and desire.
Hey,
what's up, Julie?
How are you? Welcome to Job with Julie, Hannah.
Thank you. Happy to be here. Always am.
Yeah. You up for this conversation?
You know, Julie, I think I am. I always get very little information from you.
Okay.
So today you said, we're just going to talk about attraction.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a fun word choice.
Yeah.
Tell me why. Why attraction? What's up with this?
Ooh. You know, sometimes what we do, Hannah, is when we have people asking us questions at Authentic Intimacy.
Yeah.
And we feel like...
You get a fair amount of questions.
Yeah, we get a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And there's some questions we're like, oh, we have a podcast episode that answers that or a blog that addresses that.
Yeah, we got 10 years of content.
Yeah, there you go. We've got a lot.
We can point you to that.
Yeah, but every now and then we get questions that's like, no, we really haven't like hit that topic on the nose. Mm. Like maybe we've talked around it, but we haven't like really addressed it. So
don't you find that hard to believe?
Sometimes I do, but then I'm like, when I'm out interacting with people, I'm like, yeah, that's a great question. Like this piece of content kind of addresses it, but not as specifically as you're asking. Then it's gives me ideas of...
And guess what, guys? Julie loves answering these questions. So you were like, let's do it, baby. Let's get the mics out.
Let's talk about
attraction.
You know what I love doing is thinking through these questions.
You do love thinking through these things.
Which is why I didn't send you like a huge list of this is exactly what we're going to do.
You never do that.
No. I mean, I like...
That's the beauty of Java with Julie.
It is. It really is. We've got our coffee.
Yeah.
And I just
Cold coffee today. We both went cold brew. Yes.
Yes. And I just like, okay, let's chew on this a little bit together and
great.
See if it gives some guidance.
Here we are. Mm-hmm. I feel like we should send a prize to the person who asked a question about attraction. It's like, congratulations, you asked a question we haven't even talked about yet.
And there's not one person. And as you see, as we talk through this conversation, there's a lot of different applications to it.
All right. So kick me off the big picture. What are we talking about here?
Yeah. Well, when you use that word attraction, what do you first think of?
I think of myself in the junior high hallways when it first hit. Remember that very beginning?
Yeah, I can't remember that far back.
Man, I remember this dude in eighth grade, and he got a haircut, and it's like the whole eighth grade class of girls noticed.
Wow.
And we were like, wow, this dude, Paul has arrived.
Yeah. Okay.
And all of a sudden, we were like, I think I'm attracted to this guy. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Maybe I was a little young, but I remember that pretty strong in eighth grade.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, that was the first thing I thought of is the very beginning when you first understand or begin to think like something about me is very attractive to what that person has going on.
Yeah. I think of magnets, you know, like drawn to each other. Like we actually use that word. When we talk about like magnetism, or I don't know, I never studied physics or anything, but I remember magnets.
Stick to psychology.
It's like the attraction and the repulsion, essentially, but drawn to somebody is maybe how I define attraction. And it becomes confusing, Hannah, because there's so many different applications of this, like being physically attracted to somebody or sexually attracted to somebody or romantically attracted to somebody. But we can also just be attracted to somebody's personality or the way they present themselves. Like some people are super charismatic, which means they're great in front of a crowd. You want to follow them. They're great at communicating a message.
Yeah, you're right. Even an author or someone you hear speak, something in you is attracted to either what they're saying or their personality. Yeah. Yeah. And that isn't anything sexual. You're just, no. But you're drawn to something.
Or you even think of the life of Christ. Like he was attractive.
Yeah.
So we're told that there's nothing about his physical appearance that would draw him to somebody.
I just read this in Isaiah.
You did.
Yes.
Boom.
Okay. Anyway.
So, but when you watch The Chosen, that kind of, I think, fleshes that out for us. So you read the Gospels, like people were drawn to him. And there was something about him that drew people to be curious and to want to follow him.
Yeah.
So when we talk about attraction, I think we've got to understand we're not just talking about, like, I think that person looks really good and I want to sleep with them.
Yeah.
You know, there's that application of it, but this is a far deeper topic than that.
Well, there we go. So it goes further than my eighth grade crush on Paul.
Hey, it starts there, right? Yeah.
I mean, probably even if you think about how many listeners from all over the world listen to Job with Julie regularly, it's like there's something that attracts them to this conversation.
Yeah, it must be.
I know.
Yeah, so they keep coming back. Why else are they tuning in?
Okay, so with that broad of a description, what is then bringing that conversation here to Job with Julie? Like, what questions are you hearing that is making you say this is connected to attraction?
I think there are a few. Number one, and we can get into this, like how important is attraction to marriage?
Yeah.
And when you talk about attraction, does it mean you have to have chemistry, be sexually attracted, romantically attracted? There's a conversation about same-sex attraction that people are wrestling through, like, what do I do with that longing or that desire, or that attraction? Is that attraction itself sinful? When does attraction cross the line to lust or to sinful desire? So there's a lot of different applications. Those are just a few that come to my mind.
Yeah. So where do we start?
You know, I think some of it is even starting with, like, is attraction a good thing? Is it a neutral thing? Is it a sinful thing?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
So is that true universally? Like, attraction fits into one of those categories all the time? Or is it more?
No, I think it's a lot more nuanced than that.
Yeah.
You know, like, even as we describe different kinds of attraction, there's a physical attraction, even of just noticing, wow, that person's beautiful. They're nice on the eyes, as you might say. Like, I like the way they look, or I like the way they dress, or I like the way they carry themselves. And then we can take that next step of starting to say, I want to be with that person. And now it's like, okay, what is that about? And when we meditate on that, it can start to become desire. You know, like, I want to sleep with that person. I want to see what that person would look like naked. You know, now we're into lust. So I think there's just so many different ways. And even as we described, there's ways of being attracted to somebody that's not at all sexual, but it's, I'm drawn to that person. I want to spend more time with that person. And that, Hannah, can be healthy or unhealthy.
Yeah.
So it can be codependent. It could be you're putting somebody up on kind of an idol or pedestal because you're so drawn to them, you don't see their humanity. Or it can be a really healthy thing.
Huh. So maybe we kind of talk more about that within marriage. Do you want to go there?
Yeah, let's start there.
So you see a fair amount of those questions that are asking people who do or do not feel this within their own marriage.
Right.
Feeling some confliction about it.
Yes.
So some who are saying, man, I don't really feel that attracted to my spouse anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or, man, I'm in marriage, but I'm experiencing such attraction outside of my marriage.
Right.
So where do you go with those kind of questions?
Yeah. Hannah, that's so key. You know, this also comes up and some people have probably heard me address this on the podcast before with other authors that say it is really important that you're attracted to somebody before you get married to them. And I'll be like, wait, hold up. You know, let's talk about that. Because that is a very Western presupposition.
Yeah.
That we get married primarily because we're physically or sexually attracted to somebody. Huh. And if you go into marriage with that framework, then if and when that attraction starts to fade, you start to think, well, maybe I married the wrong person.
Which is the exact questions you're getting.
Yes.
People experiencing that and being like, uh-oh.
Or hold up. Like,
yeah,
I was
what
super,
do I do here?
I was super attracted to him when we were dating.
Yeah.
But now 10 years into our marriage, I'm not only not attracted to him, I'm attracted to somebody else.
Yeah.
Maybe even I'm attracted to a woman now.
Yeah.
And so there's all kinds of stories like that that come up, but they're based on this presupposition that marriage is primarily about acting on our attractions.
And you're arguing that it's not.
Right.
So what would you argue instead? Because I think that is kind of this idea that a lot of us go into marriage with.
Yeah.
But then there's the reality of being married to, you know, another person, and all of a sudden they're like hawking loogies in a sink. And you're like, what happened here?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, like I didn't see this part before we got married.
Oh, you're clipping your toenails there. That's interesting. Like,
you sound like a woman who's been married for a while, Hannah.
It just makes sense that it fades because yes. You just become.
Yeah. No, actually, even when you look at the science of attraction,
yeah.
There are things that happen in our brains
yeah.
that make us feel that, like, I have to be with this person, so hot for this person. And the research shows that that is going to fade. I think it's sometime within, like, 6 to 18 months. Like, even if,
wow.
even if your spouse isn't clipping toenails at the kitchen table, like, even neurochemically,
yeah.
that red-hot attraction is going to fade.
So would you say that's good news or bad news?
Ooh, good question. I think it's really good news.
Okay. Yeah. Tell us. Sell us on that. Because I think a lot of people hear that and experience it yeah. and think, yeah, it's kind of a bummer
yeah.
that goes away.
I mean, it does feel like a bummer, and you definitely want to say, okay, is there any way of getting that back?
Yeah.
But if you think about all marriage would become is this reaction to, I always want to be with you. Everything you do is amazing to me. Like, mm-hmm. I want to have sex with you all the time. Like, if marriage was only that, we would be able to experience a great marriage without ever learning what it is to love.
Oh, man, here it comes.
I'm sorry, here's the boom. Yeah, I mean.
This is getting good.
And you've heard me talk about this beforehand. I really think, like, ultimately, marriage, and there's a lot of reasons for it, but one of the ultimate reasons of marriage is that we would know what it is to live out covenant love. That we would know what it is for God to love us when we're unlovable, and what it looks like to be refined in that way, to love in a way that isn't just I'm reacting to what feels good.
So in God's great design, you're arguing he intentionally has attraction fade.
I think so. I mean, not only that, but I think if we even look at what was normal in the biblical narrative, people didn't get married primarily because they were attracted to each other. I mean, and that was a whole different culture. It was more almost like arranged marriages in some situations.
More of a trade-off situation.
Or in the New Testament, I mean, there was a sense of probably of more autonomy and choices in that culture. And Paul does talk about, like, it's better to marry than to burn. And so there's an element of, boy, I want to be with somebody.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's ever, I want to and have to be with that person.
Huh.
And that's more of the Western, you know, like, you have a soulmate out there, you got to find him, and, you know, like, you have to respond to your attractions. And I don't think we're ever supposed to be driven by our attractions. Like, our attractions are not our destiny. If you look at the biblical framework, it's more like, let me pay attention to what I'm feeling and what I'm desiring. Let me bring this before God and see what part of this is good and what part of this is my flesh and what part of this I need to just keep an eye on. But we live in a day and age where I think even Christians are like, man, what does it mean right now that I'm no longer attracted to my spouse? Like, God wouldn't want me to stay in that marriage.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm so much more attracted to somebody else.
Yeah. And you're saying, no. So then when you hear from a man or woman who's asking that question and respond with, like, no, actually, this is kind of how it's expected to go, what's next then?
Yeah, I mean, I think first of all, normalizing the human experience. Like,
yeah.
even the most committed follower of Christ is going to experience attraction, and that's not bad.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that's a thing. That person, man, I'm really drawn to them because of their sense of humor or even because of their spiritual depth. It might not even just be physical, but acknowledging I'm really drawn to that person. Why is that? Is it because they represent something that I'm lacking in my current life or marriage? You know, like, is it because they make me feel good about me? Lord, what's that about? And so surrendering that to God, but then also saying, okay, if attraction is fading in my marriage, why is that? What have we neglected that we need to nurture? What am I doing to make myself more attractive to my spouse? You know, sometimes all we look at is, I'm not attracted to that person anymore.
Oh, that's 100% what we look at.
But do we ever say, what am I doing?
No, that's a harder question.
Yeah, it's an important question because I really think we feed off of each other's attraction. Like when my husband will say to me, like, I'm so attracted to you. I love being with you. You know, like when he's affectionate towards me, then I become more attracted to him.
Interesting. So you're telling me that it will fade, and that's normal, not to freak out when it happens, but to also proactively grow it.
Yes, and nurture attraction.
Okay, okay.
In your relationship.
So this is a good thing to have in our marriages.
Yes.
We just have to be very proactive about it.
Yeah.
And then when it fades, we're not like, well, I don't know. Guess I'm not attracted anymore.
Yeah. And it's you like, can nurture it.
Yeah.
And I think as you get older and you're married longer, the attraction takes a different form. So it's not necessarily as much physical as it may be, I love your heart. You know, I love the way you parent our children. You know, I love the growth that I see in your life in terms of your relationship with God. And, you know, it's like, these are the things now that draw me to you, whereas some of the things that initially when we were dating or we were first married, you know, it's changed over time, but it's still powerful, and I'm still focusing on those things and nurturing those things. Hey friend, I just want to briefly interrupt to tell you a little bit about our ministry. If you didn't know, Java with Julie is one of the outreaches of a broader ministry called Authentic Intimacy. The heart of Authentic Intimacy is to help people make sense of God and sexuality so that they can live in their bodies and in this world as sexual beings who are surrendered to God and His Word. Each month, tens of thousands of people visit our website, use and share our resources, attend our events, and it's a blessing and a gift to be able to see how the work we are doing is really impacting others. We're blessed at Authentic Intimacy to have a great team, but none of the work we do would be possible without the many donations made by generous people all over the country and really all over the world. If this ministry is helping you or equipping you and you'd like to partner with us through a donation, you can do that at authenticintimacy.com/donate or the link in our show notes. About 50% of our annual budget comes through the generosity of people like you. And your donation allows us to keep this podcast and our website free of advertisements, and it helps us make our resources available to those who need them the most. All right, let's get back to my conversation with Hannah.
And Julie, I had shared with you like something I remember reading where someone was describing their own just even struggle with the word attraction or this like feeling of attraction, just immediately being like, everything about this has to be sinful.
Mm.
Like if someone sees me and finds me attractive, like I need to shut down anything about me, you know, where, whatever it is, even, you know, baggy clothes, not laugh so loud with other people, like whatever it is, like this can only lead bad. Like feeling this, I don't know what word to use, maybe guilt or shame or ownership, if there is any attraction that is happening outside of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What would you say to that? Or how do we deal with those feelings attracted, connected to attraction?
Sure. I mean, I think that kind of makes me think that that individual is only thinking of sexual attraction. You know, like my body is curvy or, you know, people like to look at me and, you know, like, they're uncomfortable with that, which I understand. But I think in terms of if in any way you're attractive, in some ways that gives you power. Would you agree with that statement?
Oh, 100% okay. True, yes.
So it's a question of, okay, Lord, how do I steward that power well?
Huh.
Not to deny it. Like some people are like physically very attractive and beautiful. Okay, Lord, what does it look like for me to steward my physical body well? Some people are very, like I said, charismatic and people love to be around them.
Yeah.
How do I steward that well? How do I steward that for your glory? You look at characters in the Bible, like real, and I say characters, they were real life people.
Yeah.
But what was attractive about David? You know, why did people want to follow him?
Oh man, what an awesome question.
Yeah.
Because it really was. Like, it didn't make sense why he was chosen and followed, but there was something that people were drawn to.
Mm-hmm. And how did he use that power that God gave him well, and how did he misuse it? Or what was attractive about Samson? Or what was attractive about Deborah as a judge, you know, a rarity of a female leader?
Yeah.
What was attractive about John and Peter? And, you know, I think, like, putting real life skin on that, Moses, what do we learn about them? And what do we learn about their struggles to steward their attraction well and how they did steward it well? So I don't think it's a denial of it. It's like, okay, these are the gifts God has given me. How do I use them to his glory? How do I use them wisely? How do I use maybe how people are drawn to me in a way that points people to Christ?
Man, I like that question.
Because, Hannah, you're really attractive in your unique way of, like, people, when I run into them, sometimes they're like, you need to have Hannah on more. Like,
that girl's loud. Bring her back.
They love your laugh. Like, yeah. You know, people love to be around you because you're super fun and you're encouraging. And that's attraction. Like, people are drawn to you. And you've learned how to use that to point people to Christ.
Man, you're really broadening my understanding of this word.
Yeah.
Of attraction.
Does it help?
Yeah. I just, like, I would have secretly thought about the power that comes with attraction, but I don't know if I would have said it out loud and really connected those dots that you're saying.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it feels like an unfair advantage that some people have.
Yeah.
But I love how you talked through that, even with all these different individuals who you see their story of it throughout Scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think part of the gifting that God's given us is he's given us all ways that we're uniquely attractive.
Is there anywhere in Scripture that talks about the Holy Spirit being attractive?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I don't know. I think when we look at the fruits of the Spirit, like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness,
which is gentleness, the self-control, fruit of the Holy Spirit in,
like,
us.
Like, who wouldn't want to be around somebody who's like that?
Because I'm just thinking of different people in my life who they're just like submission and vigor to the person of Jesus brings such an attraction to who they are that I just am like, that is literally me being drawn to the Holy Spirit within them.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking, I wonder if that word, you know, is like connected with the Holy Spirit.
I think the Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit's job is to glorify Christ. Yeah. And so if the Holy Spirit is working in somebody's life, what you're going to begin to see is the beauty of Jesus.
Yeah.
Which, so ultimately, you're attracted to Jesus being displayed through people.
Okay, so let's take that, take a little pivot.
Yep.
A little twist and turn.
Sure.
There's other times that people are coming to you with questions around attraction that feels a lot more confusing, or maybe they come with more just shame or just really don't know what to do. So you mentioned at the top of this conversation, you know, people who come to you talking about their same sex attraction and saying like, I don't know what to make of this or do with this. Or like, is this the fact that I even experience this attraction? Like, is this sin? Is this, what do I do with that? So I don't know. Any thoughts on that?
Sure. I mean, I think again, peeling it back more, there's some people who from the time they were young, like I've always felt drawn to the same sex.
Yeah.
And then when they go through puberty, they start to connect that with a sexual attraction. They can respond sexually to same-sex images or to thoughts of being in a same-sex relationship. So there's like the physical piece of it.
Yeah.
But I think for a lot of people, particularly for women, the more we understand sexual desire and attraction in women, that a lot of times it's way beyond a physical attraction. It's, I feel safe with women. I feel connected with a woman.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel intimate with this woman. Like I'm drawn intimately and that becomes sexualized. So there's different experiences of same-sex attraction. And I think it's really important not just in your own experience to lump that. Like this is how all same-sex attracted people are. But to be curious about it, even when, where did that start? Like, I don't think we can underestimate the role of pornography, for example, in fueling same-sex attraction. When somebody's first exposure to something sexual or their first sexual response was through pornography that displayed certain images, or even sexual trauma when their first encounter was a same-sex sexual trauma. It's just, and I'm not saying that's true for everyone, but I think over time we're not doing as much research on this now, but over time research has shown that, hey, there's some possible threads there. But I do think it's so much deeper than just, I want to go to bed with this person.
Yeah.
It's, this is who I feel safe with, or this is who I feel drawn to. And that's what makes it so hard, I think, to walk this out, because, you know, let's take a woman who's same-sex attracted. What she's really drawn toward is that intimate relationship with another woman. And how does she even navigate friendships of developing non-sexual, deep relationships with women without that becoming sexualized?
Yeah. Man, so that whole topic, that whole area of attraction feels like it's got a lot of layers to it.
It does, right.
So the average person who is talking to you after conference, coming up, you know, writing an email into the website, feeling same-sex attraction and just mounds of guilt atopped with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is your, I don't even know, answer?
Yeah.
Wisdom to that friend who's coming saying, like, I don't even know what to do with this.
Essentially, my wisdom is to start unpacking those layers.
Yeah.
You know, like, not just in terms of with a therapist, but in terms of with the light of who God is and who Jesus is. And what makes it so difficult is that there are elements of that same-sex attraction that may be very good.
What?
I know. I said,
tell us more. Tell
I
us
said
more.
Elements.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, like, I can think of people I know that are walking through this, and part of their attraction is, what I really want is, I want to be safe and known.
Yeah.
And I want to feel connected to someone. And for me, that's another woman. It, you know, like, I just don't feel drawn to men. So that desire to be connected, to be seen, to be loved, like, we all have that. And we will.
And that's good.
Yeah.
And that's purposefully.
Yes, and I would also say we all have the need to be connected in deep relationship to somebody of the same gender.
Yeah.
That for most women, some of their most significant relationships will be with other women, and for most men, the same is true as they develop the capacity for intimacy. But when you're same-sex attracted, all that gets lumped in with sexuality, and so you don't know how to kind of like divide those threads out. So that's why it's so hard, because it sounds like you're telling somebody, don't ever have an intimate relationship with a friend. So that's why I'm saying, like, my advice would not be stop this or don't do that.
Shut it down. Don't think about it.
Yeah, it's like,
you don't.
Like, bring all this out into the open with a wise counselor and with the scriptures and with the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And everybody's story is different, so giving cookie cutter responses, it's not helpful for a lot of people.
Yeah. So it seems like attraction is something that freaks people out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Freaks us out when it's not present and we feel like it should.
Yeah.
It freaks us out when it shows up and we don't want it there.
Yeah.
But in all these cases that you're describing, you kind of are telling us it's actually this really good tool. Like, it's this thing that is pointing to something bigger.
Well, it's something that God created us with, but has been twisted and distorted at some extent for all of us through the fall, through our own flesh, our sin natures. But that doesn't mean you totally discard it.
Yeah.
It's stewarding it. It's saying, okay, Lord, how are you going to change my attractions and help me steward my desires? You know, I'm so passionate about this. I feel like all the messaging from the church is about behavior. Like, don't act on this. But when we read scripture, like, Jesus wants to be Lord over everything, how I feel, what I desire, what I think. And that is going to be a struggle for all of us as long as we're on planet Earth. There's, like Romans 6 says, there's this war going on between my natural desires and being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And that war is never going away. But I can learn more and more what it is to surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit, so that he would sanctify all those things. You know, like, when you look at Romans chapter 1, it's kind of the notorious passage on homosexual relationships. But essentially what Paul is saying is, when we don't know God and we don't worship him as he should be worshiped, everything about us is going to start to get distorted. What we long for, what we desire, what we think is right, how we think, it's not just our behavior. And so, you know, discipleship is not just getting people to not act out of sinful attraction, but to actually learn to submit that attraction to the Holy Spirit and say, okay, what's good? What has been warped by my flesh? How do I surrender this to the Lord?
Huh. Which is this insane invitation.
Yeah.
You know, like this invitation that God says of like, bring this to me as well.
Yeah.
But I think for a lot of us, as we've had shame mm-hmm. or confusion connected to it, instead we just bury it.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much shame and condemnation. And I've had people come up to me and confess things to me like, I can't stop having dreams that involve a same-sex relationship. Like, what's wrong with me? Or I can't stop longing to be with this other person even though I'm married and he's married. You know, like, what is wrong with me? And there's this condemnation instead of saying, okay, like, that's a thing. Like, we live in a fallen world. We have a sin nature. Sometimes we want things that we shouldn't want. But so how do we surrender that whole journey, not just are not acting out, but the shame, the thoughts, the things that are driving that desire, how do we surrender that to the Lordship of Christ?
Yeah, and sometimes it just feels easier to find someone like you in a corner of a room and confess it and be like, please help me. Instead of like what you're saying, it's like, man, God himself is ready to do that with us, but...
Yeah, and sometimes it's not easy to find somebody like me in a corner of a room. I mean, I think a lot of people are walking around with these attractions and they would never speak them out loud because they're afraid of what that might say about them.
Yeah.
But a great first step is to confess it. And with the confession, say, I really want to see God redeem all this. Like, I need his guidance.
Yeah.
And then be willing to go on that journey.
Yeah. So a lot of these conversations around attraction, Julie, we've talked in a context of relationship, marriage. Mm-hmm. Does this change at all when someone is approaching you with these questions or feelings when they're single?
Yeah, I think it does, you know, particularly if it's a sexual attraction or a romantic attraction. Like, I can remember before I got married.
Oh, tell us, Julie.
This is a memory I had. Like, being in school and... Yeah. This one guy I was super attracted to.
Yeah.
And I was like, I would just stay up like, Lord, please have him call me. And he never called me, you know, but it was like, and it wasn't just a physical attraction. I really liked this guy.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, we'd be a great match, you know? Yeah. So it's like, how do you deal with that in terms of not taking control of that, not obsessing over it, but really surrendering it to the Lord and realizing like, hey, if that guy did call me and we ended up together, we might have a difficult marriage. Like it's putting into perspective when you're single that this person, even though I'm really attracted to them, isn't going to solve all my problems, like surrendering that to the Lord. But then I think there's another piece of it, like growing the capacity to be attracted to people outside of just a romantic attachment. Huh. And I don't think we do this well.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we are in the group of community in the family of God, and we recognize, wow, that person's sense of humor, like, I'm really drawn to them, or the way that person is thoughtful and insightful, like, I really want to spend more time with them. I see that good thing in them. And I think part of maturity is growing to where you can begin to see the beauty in each person and being drawn to non-sexual, non-romantic relationships and learning how to navigate that. We've talked about this before on Job with Julie, but I think so much of the difficulty for single American Christians is there's no place to nurture those kind of intimate relationships outside of marriage.
Yeah, because then people get all weird about it. They're like, ooh, so you're spending a lot of time with Jacob this week. Like, we get...
I know.
We make everything weird.
We do. And then Jacob starts to think, oh, maybe she's into me because she's appreciating this about me.
Yeah.
So this is a cultural shift that I think we need to make, but it's also something that we can do as individuals.
Yeah. So you're saying every gathering at a church that's for single people shouldn't ultimately be so that they meet someone else at that gathering?
And I don't even think gatherings should be for single people. Yeah. Like, you know, I love it when I hear we just have a young adult gathering. Yeah. And there's married couples and there's singles. So I think that helps with it as well.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Even just introducing relationships that can have that is like a way we can grow without having to add this like sexual layer
right.
into it.
I mean, I think it's maturity to be like, I can experience attraction to people in all different ways. It's not just this one basket of romantic and sexual.
Yeah, we're not great at that.
No.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's a good question.
I can say, I'm attracted to you, Hannah. I am. Like,
cut that from the episode.
There you go. No, don't cut it. No, I love hanging out with you.
I know, Julie. I love it too.
Like, I'm so serious yeah. that you lighten me up. You make yeah. me laugh. I love your desire for God.
Yeah.
You know, like, I love spending time with you. So it's just, I think we need to expand our understanding of what it means to be in life-giving relationships mm-hmm. and what attracts us to people.
You know, I'll be honest. I wasn't really thinking that's where this conversation would land.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful summary, you know, mm-hmm. of like what this looks like relationally in all facets of relationships, interactions, acknowledging this attraction and saying like, this is a good quality. This is a good thing that is within me, yeah. you know?
Mm-hmm. Something I said to Hannah is that there are many ways of being attracted to somebody and they are not all sexual. That's just such an important thing for us and for the church as a whole to remember. All of us who have friends are attracted to something within those people. That's what makes us friends with them. Maybe it's a quality they have or an attribute of their character. Either way, it's not likely to be based on their appearance. And you know, it's possible that we've missed the fact that attraction, or maybe to put it this way, the pull we feel towards certain other people is a good thing that we're designed to experience. Well, I want to note that obviously this wasn't an exhaustive conversation about attraction and desire, but it's one that I hope has gotten you thinking a little bit, maybe thinking about who you're attracted to and what that attraction is all about, and most importantly, how we submit and surrender our attractions to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. After all, being holy does not mean that we never experience attraction or even that we never experience attraction to somebody that we're not supposed to be attracted to. It's about submitting everything to the Lordship of Christ and walking with integrity as we seek to live in a way that honors the Lord. Well, for more resources on attraction and desire, you can take a look at a blog I wrote last year about same-sex attraction, which we've linked to in our show notes. You'll also find a link to Hannah's website so you can find out more about her and what she's doing. Well, that's it for this week, but next week I'll be talking with Dr. Michael Seitzma about some of these attraction issues and how they play into particularly the early years of marriage. So make sure you tune in for that episode next Monday. I'll see you next week.